The other day I was up at Christian Light Bookstore doing a little bit of shopping, and the lady tried to run my card through the machine, and she tried to run it through several times, and it wouldn't go. It wouldn't go. The machine kept rejecting it, and she was bewildered why it wouldn't do that. And she said, "I don't know. The machine just keeps rejecting your card and doesn't. I don't know why it won't take it." And I looked at her and I said, "Maybe it's because your machine knows that I'm a dreadful sinner, and it won't take my card." And she looked at me in shock that I would say a thing like that. The other day, when I was preparing for the baccalaureate service at Montgomery High School, I was talking to some of the young kids there at school, some of the graduates, and I talked to one who I asked if he went to church anywhere, if he attended church anywhere, and he said no. He said, "I believe in God and everything, and I believe in Jesus, but I kind of do it my own way. I don't go to church or anything, but I do it the way that I like to do it." About a year ago, I sat and talked with another young person about their faith and about Christianity, and they professed to be religious and said, "Well, what I've found works for me is that I do believe in Jesus, but I take a little bit from every religion. I take what I feel is the best part from every religion so that I really can know the whole truth and be a religious person." That really, really, folks, breaks my heart when I hear that. Because in our culture today, the question is, what's the difference? As long as you follow some way, the way that's right for you, what's the difference? And I want to talk about that a little bit this morning. We live in a world of differences. There's so many choices today in our world, even with religion and with churches. And we say, what is the difference? We live in a world today where you can go out and when you start shopping for cars, the next thing you know, they all start to look the same. We say, well, what's the difference? We say to the salesman, what's the difference between this one and that one? One of the things that came to my mind as I looked out my study window this past week, many of you know, as you drive around in farming communities, as the corn starts to get taller, there are signs at the end of the certain sections of the corn. My understanding is it's because of the different seed that was used for that corn. Correct me, am I right, Charlie, that it's the seed that they're using for the corn? And as you drive by, it all looks the same, and you say, well, what's the difference? There is a difference. The difference is what's inside. The difference is what it's all about. What makes that grow, what makes it mature the way that it does. And it's the same with churches. And today in our society, in our culture, we have a blender mentality that we can just blend things together to our taste until we come up with something that suits our taste and makes us feel good. And we've come up with a blender mentality. We say, well, what's the difference? I still believe in Jesus. But you see, there's a big difference. And in fact, there's a huge difference. When Paul went around on his missionary trips in Asia Minor and birthed the church in Galatia, he was on a new path with the gospel of Jesus Christ. He had realized that it was not because he was a certain person, a Jew. It was not because he lived according to the law that he was a righteous person, that he did certain things. It was because of the grace of God in the resurrected Jesus Christ who had died on a cross for him that he was justified before God. And all he needed was faith in that sacrifice. Well, he and Peter kind of had a little bit of a disagreement on this, because Peter still thought that they needed to have the ways of Judaism along with faith in Christ. He still thought you needed to be circumcised. He still thought you needed to follow the law, the Levitical laws and the Ten Commandments. And Paul was trying to convince the churches in Galatia, no, this is no longer true, because now we who are followers of Jesus Christ are people of grace. not people of the law. We're justified in the eyes of God, not because of who we are or what we do, but because we have faith in Jesus Christ, because of what He did on the cross. Paul writes these words to the church in Galatia, "We who are Jews by birth," saying, okay, we're Jews, we're God's chosen people. We're not Gentile sinners, quote unquote. We're Jews by birth, we're God's chosen people. We know that man is not justified by observing the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. I want you to notice something here. In the short passages of Galatians, Paul uses the word justified four times. He says, we who are Jews by birth and not Gentiles know that man is not justified by observing the law, but by faith in Jesus. In fact, he says, by faith in Jesus Christ, or Jesus the Messiah. So, he says, we too have put our faith in Christ, or in the Messiah Jesus, that we may be justified by faith in Christ, not by observing the law. Because by observing the law, no one will be justified. I think the King James Version says, and makes it really clear, that Paul's saying, because by observing the law, no flesh will be justified. Now, I want to talk about that. That's pretty important. What Paul is saying here is there's not one person in this world, as long as we are in this fleshly body, he's saying that we cannot be justified in the eyes of God, and justified speaks of a rightness, a made right, a made straight, a made just. And what Paul is saying here is that as long as we are in this fleshly body, there's absolutely nothing we can do to be just in the eyes of Almighty God. Nothing. When I first came here about 3 years ago, we were working on the newsletter one day, and Beverly Berger said to me, as we were doing the print on the page, she said, is it justified? I said, what do you mean, is it justified? I said, I don't know. Does it know Jesus? We talked about that, what justified meant. When you justify print on a page, you make it right. You make it straight. It's not all ragged and jagged out here somewhere, going off into never-never land. It's neat, it's orderly, it's straight, and it's right. And what Paul is saying here is that we know, and he's saying to the Galatians, who had listened to a lot of false teaching after Paul had come there, he says, it's not by these works of the law. It's by faith in Jesus Christ that we are justified by God. And if we observe the law, nobody is justified in that way anymore, because Christ has come. And he goes on to say, if while we seek to be justified in Christ, while we're doing that, it becomes evident to us that we're sinners. Does that mean that Christ promotes sin? No. Now, here's something I want you to understand. First of all, Paul's saying we're justified, or we're righteous through faith in Christ. Now what he's saying here is Christ isn't the one that condemns us. If we're seeking righteousness in life and to be right in the eyes of God through Jesus Christ, if while we're doing that, we ourselves come to the conclusion that we're sinners, we say, well, then through Christ I'm condemned. No, Christ does not promote sin. He doesn't promote it. That's what he's saying here. If it becomes evident that we're sinners, does that mean Christ promotes sin? Absolutely not. He's saying, talking about the law, if I rebuild what I destroyed, I prove that I'm a lawbreaker. What he means is, he destroyed the law, or Christ destroyed the law through grace and dying on the cross. And Paul is saying, if we go back to the law and rebuild that, what we destroyed is that is no longer valid, then we prove that we're a lawbreaker. In other words, it's the law that condemns us, not Christ. And he says, we are only righteous through Christ. We're condemned through the law. That's how it works. We go to the law says, thou shalt not
thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Honor the Sabbath, keep it holy. And the Levitical laws, sacrificing our lives to God. So when we look at that, we say, as the apostles said to Jesus, then how can we be saved? Good question, isn't it? Because the Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. We're dreadful sinners. Yesterday, as we came out of the conference meeting up at the Community Arts Center in Williamsport, Methodists all over downtown Williamsport, crossing the street to get to the parking lot, none of the signs said walk. In fact, they said don't walk. And the orange hand was flashing. And still, so many of them crossed the street. They not only crossed it where the walks were, they crossed it diagonally where the one was none. And I said, can you imagine we're lawbreakers? And we are. When we look at the law says, you're condemned. You are not righteous because you've broken God's law. And that's what Paul is saying here. You can't add to Christianity all these other things and say, well, we're only a Christian if you follow the law. No, that's not what the law was for. The law condemns us. But faith in Jesus Christ saves us. He says, through the law, I died to the law. In other words, through the law, I realized that I'm a sinner and I'm dead. But I'm giving that up because I realize my only hope for life is Jesus. So through the law, I died to the law. I gave that up so that I might live for God. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. I gave all that law breaking, all my sin in my life at the cross. Okay? I crucified it there at the cross. I said, God, you know my past sins, you know my present sins, you know my future sins. They're there on the cross in what Jesus did. If I mix anything else with that, I just have a bunch of glot and nothing. The righteous robe, the white robe of righteousness, only comes through the pure saving grace of God in Jesus Christ. I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me, gave himself for me. I don't set aside the grace of God. Because you see, Peter had done that. Peter had said, well, that's okay. I believe in Jesus. I believe in what he did on the cross. But I'm going to add to it. I'm going to make it taste a little better. I'm going to spice it up. No, that's not the way it works. Because Paul says, if righteousness could be gained through the law, through our works, through our mixing it up, why did Jesus die? Why did Jesus die if we can do all these other things to save ourselves? He died for nothing. We are justified or righteous through faith in Christ. Christ does not condemn us. The law does. And when we live by faith in Christ, the Son of God, we're saved from that condemnation by the grace of God when Christ died on the cross. You say, what can I do? What can I do? What can I do to be a good person? You can't do anything as long as you're in the flesh. You cannot be justified in the flesh. Jesus did that for you on the cross. Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. What's the difference? What's the difference? The difference is huge. We have the cross. The grace of God. You can add every bit of spice, every other little bit of religion, the best of all worlds, all you want. But you will not find grace. You will find works. What can I do? If you do this, you will receive this. If you follow this way, you will receive this someday. If you do this now, you'll have this now. And it becomes all about me and what I do. But in all reality, in Christianity, following Jesus Christ, it's all about what Christ did on the cross for us and nothing else. It makes all the difference in the world. Because we have the grace of God. Peter eventually got on board with Paul. He realized that what Paul was teaching was true. Paul told the Galatians, "You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. Does God give you His Spirit and work miracles among you because you observe the law or because you believe what you heard? Understand," Paul says to the Galatians, "understand that those who believe are children of God, children of Abraham. The Scriptures foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith. So those who have faith are blessed with Abraham, the man of faith." It's pretty clear. There's no cloudiness about it. It's pretty clear, and it makes all the difference in the world. Let's pray.